everyone, and welcome to the All It Takes a Goal podcast, the best place in the entire world, including all of Canada, to learn how to build new thoughts, new actions, and new results. I'm your host, John Acob, and today we're talking about the only two ways to escape your comfort zone. You ever feel stuck? You ever feel like you're in a rut, maybe in a funk, like not a good funk, like a funk you don't want to be in? Yeah, me too. That's happened a bunch. And there's two ways that you can change that. We can totally change that today. I'll tell you the two ways. We're going to get into that and it's going to be super fun. But first, let's hear a quick word from the sponsor of today's episode. Did you know that 96% of people feel they're not tapping into their full potential? 96% of people. That's most people. Now, the good news is, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not most people. You and I can be the 4% that open every gift they have and enjoy every bit of potential. So how exactly do we do this? Well, all it takes is a goal. In fact, I wrote a whole book about it, and my three-step plan will help you escape the comfort zone, avoid the chaos zone, and live in the potential zone. What if each day felt like a gift and each year got progressively better? It can, and my book shows you how. Today is the day that you can unleash your full potential. All It Takes is a Goal is now available wherever books are sold. You can also pick up a copy at atgbook.com. That's atgbook.com. All right, let's jump into the episode. So last Tuesday, I released a brand new book called All It Takes is a Goal. And you guys have been amazing supporting it. It's already sold more than 10,000 copies, which is unbelievable. I just need you to know that the team and I have been celebrating like crazy. We're so grateful. Thank you for believing in the content and thank you for picking up a copy. If you haven't yet, if you haven't grabbed a copy, I thought it would be fun today to share one of the key concepts in the book. It's the three performance zones. It's chapter 5 of the book, and it'll instantly tell you the two best ways to escape your comfort zone. And I think when you hear me sharing this, you're going to go, wait a second. Okay, I'm gonna get the rest of the book. What's fun is that I read the audiobook. So if you like the podcast, you'll probably love the audiobook. Now, this one's gonna be a lot of fun. We're just gonna jump right in. Without further ado, this is chapter 5 of my brand new book, and it's going to tell you the two ways to escape the comfort zone. If you've ever felt like you're stuck in your comfort zone, you're gonna love this. Chapter 5, Navigate the Three Performance Zones. I am a goal nerd. I love goals like some people love wine, bird watching, gardening, or video games. One year, I read 100 books. One year, I ran 1,000 miles. One year, I hired a ping pong coach because I wanted to see how good I could get at table tennis. Raise your hand if you've ever hired a Team USA sanctioned elderly man to throw hundreds of ping pong balls at you in a rental property while yelling, kill, kill, kill. Any hands raised out there? Probably not. I am a goal nerd. You might not be, but you are a high performer. How do I know? Because lazy people don't read books like mine, and they certainly don't listen to podcasts like mine. They didn't even know that this section of the bookstore exists. Low performers don't voluntarily read books about tapping into their full potential. They don't do that. That's just the reality. Only high performers do that. So allow me to congratulate you for being a high performer. Before we celebrate too loudly, though, I must share one warning. Being a high performer doesn't automatically make you a high achiever. Let me say that again. Being a high performer doesn't automatically make you a high achiever. We all know plenty of people who are capable of sporadic bursts of high performance, but never figure out how to turn all that motion into high achievement. I discovered the reason this happens after 12 years of helping thousands of people with their goals. High performers bounce between three different zones. Zone number one, the comfort zone. Zone number two, the potential zone. And zone number three, the chaos zone. In the comfort zone, we've disconnected from our vision for our lives. We've settled for the familiar, bought the lie that dreaming is for other people, and decided that the safe repetitiveness of being stuck is better than the risk of searching for more. There are no actions, no goals, and no progress. But we rarely notice the inertia because it's so comfortable. It's an amazing place to visit, but ultimately a terrible place to live. Though the comfort zone gets a lot more press, the chaos zone is the one that traps more high performers. Have you ever tried too many goals at once? Have you ever listened to a podcast that got you fired up and it made you want to change every part of your life all at once? Do you have a habit of overscheduling your day, overpromising what you can deliver, and overestimating how fast you can get something done? Have you ever tried to start a side hustle, lose 10 pounds, be a better spouse, earn a raise at your day job, figure out crypto, and meditate more all in the same weekend? That is the chaos zone. Now, the potential zone is in the middle of those two extremes. It's the Goldilocks zone. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's just right. You don't yo-yo between never dieting and weighing the ounces of green matcha protein powder on a scale designed for Tour de France cyclists. You instead make steady, joyful progress on a handful of goals you care about. Each day, as you intentionally invest in best moments, you close the gap between your vision and your reality. Now, this might feel impossible at first, but it's not. It's actually where you and others know you belong. In our research study, so we did a research study with Dr. Mike Peasley. He's a PhD here in Nashville. In our research study, 94% of participants reported that someone had told them they have potential. More than 70% of people said they also had experienced moments in their lives when they were living up to their full potential. What does that mean? It means people see something special in you, and deep down, so do you. Maybe you felt it with a new hobby. Like that first clay pot was a little lopsided, but you made it with your own hands. And for a moment, you had some undiscovered potential. Maybe it happened at work, when everything came together on a project and you got this tiny glimpse of what people call being dialed in. Maybe it was an exercise class that a friend dragged you to and you ended up loving. Maybe it was on a hike in Denali National Park where a glacier-sized thought hit you. I was made for this. The potential zone looks different for every single person. But when you experience it, we all ask the same question. How do I stay here? That's the question that inspired the entire book I wrote. Are there deliberate actions you can do that double, triple, quintuple your amount of time in the potential zone? Can you increase the number of best moments you experience? Are there steps you can take to change from being a tourist in the potential zone to a full-time resident? There are, and I've seen thousands of people just like you do it. But it's not that easy because the comfort zone is so appealing. I don't want to leave my comfort zone. Why would anyone want to? It's comfortable. There aren't many responsibilities. The expectations are low. And it's easy to exceed the expectations in the comfort zone because they're so low. It requires nothing of you. You don't have to stretch. You don't have to grow. You don't have to ask for help or try anything that looks the tiniest bit challenging. For decades, I made my home in the comfort zone. But occasionally, life would kick me out of it. My reality would shift so dramatically that I'd be propelled outside against my will. The pandemic certainly did that. I was comfortable in the reality that my company was positioned to have our best year in 2020. I'd spent the previous 7 years working toward that moment. And in January 2020, I felt so confident about everything we had scheduled for the next 12 months. Can you guess what got canceled in 2020 from a public speaking perspective? Everything. I was thrust outside my comfort zone, whether I wanted to be or not. Left without many options, I had to learn how to do virtual events, launch a podcast, and teach online courses just to replace our revenue from live events. Am I thankful that I now have a podcast? Yup. Am I glad that now I know how to help people via online courses? Definitely. Did I willingly leave my comfort zone? No. I had to be dragged out, and I was furious. When I realized the largest part of my business had disappeared, I didn't immediately think, What a wonderful opportunity to learn some new skills that I might have otherwise missed. Change is fun. Anyone who tells you they love change is either lying or a sociopath. Change sucks. I hated being out of my comfort zone for the first 9 months. Eventually, though, when I realized the pandemic was not going to behave according to my personal time frame, just to pause for a second, guys, I really tried. My attitude was like, man, this will be over by spring break. And then I was like, man, this will be over by the summer. Definitely by the fall. It can't possibly go past Christmas. Like, it just kept going. But when I realized the pandemic was not going to behave according to my personal time frame, I didn't have a choice. I had personally experienced one of the two reasons people leave their comfort zones. Let's pause the book for a second. That's what we're going to talk about in this episode. There's only two ways. There's two ways you'll leave a comfort zone. Are you ready for them? Here are the two ways people leave their comfort zones. Number one, an involuntary crisis. Number two, a voluntary trick. So an involuntary crisis is when something disruptive happens outside of your control. You lose a job. You fail in a relationship. You have a health scare. Or you watch the rug get pulled out from under you in some other way. A crisis destroys your comfort zone. Sometimes a crisis isn't even yours. You might decide to leave the comfort zone because a friend or a relative experienced a crisis and you want to avoid that same situation in your own life. You might also voluntarily trick yourself out of the comfort zone. That's the second way people leave the comfort zone. What happens is you get a glimpse of something you want more. Something in your life is missing. And you quickly do the cost-benefit analysis. You decide the return on investment is worth the hard work of wooing yourself out of the comfort zone. Except for masochists, no one wants to leave their comfort zone. Why would you? It's delightful. You know the rules. You know what to do. It's familiar. We've all had a friend date someone way below them. They've been engaged for like 7 years. He's been working on a business idea for 5 years while she supports him, and she's unhappy in the relationship. Why does she stay? Why do people stay at jobs they don't love? Why do any of us stay in situations we should have left long ago? Because they're comfortable. The comfort zone is not that exciting, but it's definitely a lot less scary than whatever is just over the border. But maybe one day you get a little motivated. You attend an event, you listen to a podcast like this one, or find an encouraging social media account. Those are actually three of the biggest sources of inspiration participants listed in the research study for this book. You decide for a variety of reasons that seeing what you're capable of is worth it, and you quickly learn that it's not an easy endeavor. Convincing your stuck self to leave the comfort zone is like releasing a rehabilitated tiger back into the wild. Hey, buddy. Hey, you don't have to live in that cage anymore. It's open. Just come on out and you can explore this entire jungle. It's all yours. You often get mauled in the process. The tiger runs right back to the comfort zone and you decide not to try again until New Year's rolls around once more and you get inspired with another resolution. I'm tired of that happening to both of us. It's enough already. But I also respect the comfort zone because it's a significant foe. It's kicked my butt for decades. That's why we're going to proceed with caution and simplicity. The caution is because we don't want to spook you deeper into the comfort zone. If you even get a hint that this is going to require years of work, focus, and persistence, you'll never get out of the comfort zone. You'll just retire to an even harder to reach corner. Why wouldn't you? Who wants the promise of years of hard work, focus, and persistence, especially at the start of a new goal? For instance, I love Malcolm Gladwell, but his explanation of K. Anders Ericsson's definition of expertise was discouraging to me the first time I heard it. It takes 10,000 hours to become world class, so my full potential is 10,000 hours away. Let's just do the math on that for a second. So all I have to do is focus on my goal for 10 hours a day, and then I'll be an expert in 3 years. Do you have 10 hours of free time each day that you've been looking to fill? Do you have 70 hours available this week for a new goal? You're right. That's unrealistic. What if instead we just put in like an hour a day? We'll work an hour a day. That's way more manageable. So how long would that take to reach our potential? 27 years. If you have a free hour available for the next 10,000 days in a row, which quite frankly, is going to be a challenge. You can tap into your potential in 27 years. I'm currently 47, which means at age 74, I'll really be coming into my own. That makes me young for Congress, and I'll probably be crushing a seniors pickleball league at that point, but I don't want to wait that long for my potential. And you shouldn't either. If we come on too strong right out of the gate, that part of you that doesn't want to leave the comfort zone is going to smell a rat and it's going to bolt. So we're going to proceed with caution and also simplicity, because the simpler the trick, the more likely you'll fall for it. The return of the vision wall. When you realize potential is just the gap between who you want to be and who you are right now. That's how I define potential, by the way. That's not in the, I didn't put this exact sentence in the book. But the way I define potential is it's the gap between your vision and your reality. The vision of how life could be, the type of father you'd be, the type of mom you'd be, the type of business you'd own, the type of career you'd have, the type of shape you'd be in, whatever, and the reality. That's what potential is. It's that gap between your vision and your reality. When you realize potential is just the gap between who you want to be and who you are right now, it's tempting to immediately ask, well, what's the plan for my life? That's a reasonable question, but guess what wakes up when you ask it? The vision wall from chapter one. So in chapter one, I talk about when we run into, you know, a wall of vision that tells us you have to know exactly where your life's going before you start. You have to know the end before you begin. That's the vision wall. And the vision wall will present you with a terrible if-then offer. If you can figure out what your plan is, then you can start working on your goal. What a perfect trap that is. Until you have a clear sense of your plan, your mission, your life, you can't write 100 words for a new book. Until you've reached the very core of your soul, your essence, if you will, you can't spend 15 minutes walking around the neighborhood. Until you've identified your true north, your guiding star, your quest above all quests, you can't declutter this closet. If you'll do all those things first, then you can get to work. You'll quit before you start if the ticket price to trying is first understanding your vision. So put vision aside for a second. Let's start far simpler, like far simpler than that. We're going to start far simpler than that and just trick ourselves into answering one little question. Boom, boom, boom. All right, what's that? That's the end of the chapter. It's like a cliffhanger. And then you read chapter six where I answer that cliffhanger. So what's the question? Well, that's chapter six. And you can know the answer immediately if you read the digital version or listen to the audiobook. Like if you go digital audiobook, you can get the answer to that so fast. You could also get the paper version, support a local store. There's a million ways to get the book. You're going to love this book. And I am so excited at the stories that are already pouring in about people who are working their way through it. I can't wait to see what you think. You can get one anywhere books are sold. And then buckle up. Buckle up. It's going to change your life, especially chapter two. Read chapter two. I dare you to try some of the things in chapter two. And you are going to be blown away. That was chapter five today. I can't wait to see what you do with the book. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We'll put all the links in the show notes as always. And thank you for reviewing this podcast. The reviews you write are super encouraging. Here's one I recently saw from Hustlin' Mom. Love that name, by the way, Hustlin' Mom. Let's go. Motivating and funny. John Acuff is empathetic to our fears and our attempts to achieve our goals. He mocks all the hang in there cat posters and gives you actual advice you can implement the same day. His books, Queso Jokes, Sarcasm, never gets old. I really appreciate that. I do mock hang in there cat posters. And I love that you said I can give you actual advice that you can implement that same day. That's always my goal. I want you guys to be listening to this podcast, reading my books, taking my online courses, whatever, and knowing what to do on a Tuesday. I'm always trying to think, how will this help you on a real Tuesday with a real challenge that you can actually do something? So thank you for writing that, Hustlin' Mom. Make sure you subscribe or follow or whatever it is the kids are saying these days, and please write a review. I'll see you next week. And remember, all it takes is a goal.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast and to get access to today's show notes and exclusive content from John Acuff, visit acuff.me/podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast.